This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. So good to see you again. So a few episodes back, I was talking about hats. Do you remember? I was talking about hats and the different hats that we wear, the different roles that we take, and the things that we therefore do. And we have to know our limitations and that kind of thing. Well, I had a lovely email. This is an email from Judy. Judy and her husband, Ron, are based in France, and they have alpacas. And this was a response, because they listened to my episode about hats, and they have a story to share. So let me share it with you. Here it is. Hello, Steve. It's Judy from France. Just listened to your podcast on hats, and just felt I had to share our hat story with you. Many years ago, we bought a decidedly difficult adult male alpaca. He came with a group we purchased. We should never have bought him, but hey-ho, lesson learned. We were alpaca rookies back then, 17 years ago. Anyway, we decided to have him gelded as, aside from his behaviour, his conformation wasn't great for breeding. As the vet left, after having removed the bits we felt might be causing the problem, he told us to check under the tail each day until the wound healed. We really weren't sure how we could do this, as he was quite difficult to handle, and we were rookie owners. Well, the following morning was bitter cold, and we remembered that some friends had brought us back some brightly coloured cholo hats from their holiday. So we decided to try them out for the first time. Just a little aside here. Cholo hats are the ones with the flaps over the ears. And yeah, they're bright and colourful when they come from South America. Anyway, well, with our new hats on, we went to check under this alpaca's tail. On spotting us in our brightly coloured headgear, he immediately stood still and raised his tail, exposing his wound. Result! One of us stayed in front as a distraction whilst the other quickly checked under his tail. No contact required as the tail was high and the wound clear to see. So our new hats became our secret weapon, used every day until the wound was no more. So there's a use for hats that you didn't mention. I have to add that we held on to this alpaca and the gelding worked in making him more manageable. He has never been handsome, nor a cuddly sort of chap, but at 20 years old now, he's part of the family and we love him. He's also been great at training our little weaned boys, especially in keeping the poo area compact. We still enjoy your podcasts. Take care and keep sharing. Kind regards, Judy. Oh, that made my day. Thank you, Judy, for sharing the story. And I hope those listening also enjoyed hearing a different dimension. Oh, life with alpacas. It's amazing, isn't it? It's very variable. You have to deal with all kinds of things that whoever thought, eh? And hats, yeah, they do respond differently. I did mention that they're never quite sure about when they see me with a hat. If I haven't worn a hat for a while and they see the hat, they kind of go, they just kind of look at me strangely. And a few of them want to come close enough to sniff, but not all of them for sure. Oh, dear. So I hope you've been doing okay, and we've got more springliness happening in the valley with the ducks and the geese. She's definitely sat on the nest now, and the male is cruising around and doing his thing. He was in just a bit earlier, but I looked out the window. There he was in the field with the alpacas, and he cruises over and gets out, and they get on the bank on the far side when the girls are grazing over there. But this was over by the hay feeder. And Sue had been out today, so we went out together. She'd missed doing the boys feeding this morning, so I did that, and therefore she wanted to go and see them. It's one of her favourite bits of the day, feeding the boys, and so we went up together, which was really nice. It's not often that happens, but it was really nice. So we went up, and they were pleased to see us. There was next to nothing to muck out this afternoon. This morning was a different story. It was two shovelfuls, definitely. They'd been in because it had been wet. And a few bits and pieces. We kind of, oh, this is interesting. What about his jaw? Do we need Fred? Fred's, who's the one with the blind in one eye and not very good sight in the other one. He's almost blind now, completely. And he's doing all right. We've taken the coats off, him and the two girls, took the coats off at the weekend. And they were quite relieved, as you can imagine, having had the coat on for so long. So that was really nice for them. And then, in the night, it absolutely hammered down. There was so much rain. But today was just a little bit damp. And they're getting used to it. And he certainly, Fred's, had a really good roll. He had stuff all over his back. Oh, no coat. So he had a really good roll on the bracken and the bits of gorse and goodness knows what in there. And so he was a little bit concerned. Look at his jaw. Because he's dried and fluffed out a bit. That means there's this swelling on his jaw, or it could be. Better check him out. So I had a quick look, quick feel. No, all fluff. It's all fleece, and it's one side more than the other, and that's the thing that stood out. It was definitely one side more than the other. This is my right-handedness. I've mentioned this before. This is my right-handedness when I shear. There's something I don't do quite the same on both sides of the head, and therefore the fleece, at this end of the year, almost a year on from shearing, it stands out a lot more on one side compared to the other. But no, there was no swelling. There's no problem with his jaw or his teeth. And he's doing all right. So he was out and he had the food outside, whereas normally he's in. And the rest of them were mainly inside. And most of the time, happy until the usual Jack started to grumble and complain that somebody was too close to his food. They're not close at all, you know. This is the thing. He anywhere that's a little bit in his direction, he seems to object and demand his space. And the two girls, they're doing okay without their coats. And Hermione's kind of around. She still looks at me suspiciously. She looked at me suspiciously because I think she thought it was getting a bit warmer. I might want to take her coat off. And she wasn't too keen about that process. She doesn't like having it put on, but she doesn't like having to take it off either. So we managed to get that off. And that was okay. And Nona has pretty much wrecked her coat. We're going to have a look and maybe keep it as a spare or something. She's a good one for wiping her side up against the fence. And unfortunately, that meant the outside of the lovely waterproof coat got a bit snagged and snarled and chewed. And so it's a bit torn in places. And So he was up there and came in all right, and the others came down. We had to call them. They were up. Some of them were distributed up on the hill, and some of the boys were in waiting, and Hal was in his usual place down by the fence, keeping an eye on where the girls are. And then the girls, when they came in, well, they were all spread out. There was a few over by the buildings, the cabin, by the car park over by the lake. There was another handful around the hay feeder. And then they were scattered around the field, some under the trees, some up the top by the fence line. Haney was over there and the others. And then there was a few in the stable and there was a few further down. So they've done this being relaxed and spread out. This is quite unusual. In the old days, they just felt a little bit anxious, I think. So they're much more relaxed and prepared to be spread. They don't have to be, as long as they can see each other, they're happy. They don't like to be away. And I'm just looking at this one alpaca who's stood in the field by herself. She's a funny one because she fiddles with the little bit of crumbs and things, and she's got left behind. There's nobody else around. They've all got off and left her. And she's standing by the gate looking forlornly. She's kind of looking this way, looking that way. It happened the other day as well. This is becoming a norm. Now what am I going to do? Well, I'll see if there's any food in. I'll see if there's any hay in the hay feeder. So she's gone to the hay feeder again. She did that last time as well. There's a couple of ducks in there to keep her company. I'll probably go and find her in a minute and send her along the road, along the path to go find the girls. I think they're probably over on the terraces. I can't see them, actually. Not quite sure exactly where they've gone. They're doing that now. They have their food earlier in the day when it's still light, and then off they go, and they wander off. They were always back by breakfast, though. So we've been looking out for things, what stands out, what's unusual. Hayley's not been too well. She's been sat down a bit more and not been too comfortable, digestive, something going on. Did have a little bit of diarrhea. It's now cleared up. And that's heading the right direction, but she's still not right. So we will keep an eye on her. Anybody else on the watch list? Let's have a think. One with dodgy eyes that get a bit mucky now and again. It's the dust and stuff from the hay often seems to spark her off. Now, she's prone to that, and that's useful to know. What's this particular animal needing that's slightly different from the others? And it's just slightly different. And others, they'll browse things that the others haven't. And I just wonder whether Haney's had something that's upset her digestive system. Don't know. Not sure what it was, what it could be. But if there's anybody going to be grazing something that the others aren't, then it'll be her. But she's eating her food. She's standing her ground and keeping the others away from her food, trough, bucket, whatever it is. Definitely on the watch list for this week. So we'll keep an eye, see how that goes. The other birds are busy. Lots of singing, really loud. And we're starting to get early. Now, is it earlier? Can't be any earlier, but it feels earlier because the hour is advancing with the clocks having changed here in the UK now. So we're back in step with a lot of other places. Australia hasn't changed yet. It's interesting. There are things around. The chiff-chaffs have arrived. Spring's definitely nearly here. And then what else have we got? We got other things. We got the pheasants. They're around as well. I disturbed them this morning in the field with the alpacas. They suddenly saw me and they kind of do this striding thing. They almost run, stand really tall. Not like runner ducks, but stand really tall and kind of stride out. So it's the pair, it's most male and female. So I'm guessing at some point I might see less of her if she's sitting on a nest, but we shall see how that develops. They wander around all over the place. We hear them on the far side of the lake and on this side, and we see them now and again here, there. So the kind of, our valleys almost become their territory, I think. And the ravens calling nicely, and they were having a good old and talking to each other. Some crows. There was something around the other day. Not sure what it was. It was a funny swept wings to some extent. Could have been a bird of prey. Could have been sparrowhawk, I guess. And that was interesting because the crows chased off this thing. Well, it flew off and then it flew back. Yeah, they were definitely moving it. Unhappy that it was around and definitely were moving it around. And had little bits of rattling of woodpeckers in the tall trees up on the top. And it won't be too long. We'll be starting to hear the cuckoo, but that's not yet. We're not there yet. It's only signs of spring. And now the clocks have changed. Now we're into April. Then it feels like spring is kind of here. And I'm not sure where you draw the line. Where do you draw the line and say that the season has changed? It's a bit of a blurry thing, isn't it? But definitely all good, encouraging signs. And there's a bit more warmth in the sun. We're getting showers. That's typical of April, of course. And the grass is still doing nicely. And so are the weeds. So plenty to be done if you have the inclination to get out and do it. If you can spend some time with your alpacas, of course, that's definitely a worthwhile thing to do for your benefit as much as theirs, but just to get a feel for what they're doing, what's going on with them. You don't have to wear a hat, but you could try that, couldn't you? You could have an experiment, see which hat they respond most dramatically to. Yeah. It was funny, it's years back now, somebody came to stay and they borrowed Sue's coat and went out, and Megan, who has this particular relationship with Sue and will come over nose to nose with Sue, she makes a beeline for her. She went to this person because she was wearing Sue's coat. She went over to say hello and suddenly discovered it wasn't Sue and was a bit shocked and retreated very quickly. Not the person, but Megan. She's accepting a bit more, but she's still every now and again objects to my sudden movement forward, which she's taking to be in her direction, and it wasn't. She just happened to be in the way, and she kind of threatens to spit at me. So I've worked out how to manage that now. I just turn sideways. Have you noticed that? Have you tried that? Actually, it's a good thing to try as well. When you're spending some time with your alpacas, try the sideways stance. It's less threatening. Front on, and particularly if you've got your arms out, then you're facing off the alpacas, really. So if you turn sideways, you're a smaller profile and you're not as much of a threat. So you can turn sideways and kind of look away from them. But you can do their trick, the alpaca trick of not looking. You know the one I mean? So they'll actually kind of turn their head. They're watching you, but they're not facing in your direction. So you could try that trick as well. Go spend some time around the alpacas and just try these different stances. See if the hat makes a difference. Try sitting down, try standing up. Try looking at them, try not looking at them. They're strange and wonderful creatures. Do enjoy spending time with them if you can. So have a good week, take care, and I'll see you again soon. Bye for now. This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.